Gauteng police have confirmed that the violent protests in Tshwane that left a path of destruction and looting in its wake have left two people dead. The two people were killed in Mamelodi, which had been a hotspot after the violence erupted when the ANC announced that Toko Didiza will be the party's mayoral candidate for Tshwane in the upcoming elections. The Electoral Commission spoke out about the violence and said it was noted with great concern the rising levels of violence and intimidation which are characterizing political and campaign activities ahead of the election. Incidents of what appear to be politically motivated murders, assaults and other forms of intimidation of candidates have been reported across a number of provinces including Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga and Northwest over the past few days. Analysts are also warning that the violence are reaching crisis proportion, with KwaZulu-Natal Violence Monitor Marie Lahasa saying that South Africans do not realize that democracy is at stake, and we are on the line to her. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. How concerned are you about the level of violence we're seeing at the moment?
Well, look, I'm very concerned. Every life that's lost is precious, and we've lost at least a dozen lives this year in KwaZulu-Natal. A couple of them IFP, a couple NFP, but mainly ANC, and most of them, I think, within the ANC, conflict within the ANC. And we've also had our share of violent protests, and a number of those protests have been against councillors, some of whom have been renominated, and also a lot of anger about allegedly rigged nomination processes. So the climate is tense, and when campaigning starts, we don't know if it's going to get any worse.
Yes, now, as you see it, what is behind the violence and anger?
Well, in this province, it's because that people are saying that nominations have been rigged. This is within the ANC itself. There's been anger in a number of areas about alleged, for example, ghost delegates at meetings at which candidates are named, or, you know, lists are compiled. Allegations that lists that have been compiled have been interfered with and other people have been put at the top of the list. This was happening to some extent in 2011, not on the scale we're seeing now. And after the elections in 2011, there was protest, fairly peaceful protest. There was an inquiry under Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, which found that indeed there had been irregular nominations in at least half a dozen cases. Nothing was ever done about that. Now, this time it's much worse. Many areas are saying the same thing, which has led to at least 100 people within the ANC contesting the elections as independents within their ANC wards.
Do you believe the situation may worsen after the elections, especially as people are saddled with councillors they don't want?
Well, this is what worries me. You see, I think we have a bit of a crisis of governance here, because the face of governance is local government. This is where services are supposed to be delivered. You're supposed to be getting your normal water, electricity, streetlights working, rubbish cleared. But of course, local government is the visible face of delivering services such as housing. You know, we've got cooperative governance with the national, the provincial, but local government, especially in Durban, for example, the eThekwini municipality, where there have been serious allegations of rigging of candidates to make sure they fall into the right political camp, because the ANC in this province is divided between people who support the premier who's just been removed and the present premier. So the allegation in eThekwini, which is a very powerful region, which has influence at national level, including about who's going to be the next president, and it also has a huge budget. So that budget in the hands of, for example, a majority ANC, there's not much power other parties have. So, you know, it's about cater deployment, it's about awarding of tenders. Now, According to what's alleged is that most of the names on that list are in a particular political camp, and that's why you've got a lot of people that have now, although their ANC are going to stand as independents. Now, if after the elections the very same people come back, and I mean I could give you examples of councillors who are deeply unpopular who are on those lists, if they're back again, you know, the protests are a symptom of deep dissatisfaction. You know, councillors who don't consult with their constituents, councillors who just do their own thing, who use the powers they've got, for example, to ward houses, to dispense as patronage. So the situation's not going to change unless we have a change of attitude and conduct of sitting councillors. And is that going to happen when the people who are not popular are going to probably be re-elected?
You have been monitoring violence in KwaZulu-Natal for decades. Is this the worst that it has we've seen since the dawn of democracy?
Oh, no. Look, I mean, in the 90s, there were serious problems, but the difference, there's a difference now. The problems in the 90s and the early 2000s was mainly inter-party. Look, there were also intra-party problems in areas such as Richmond within the ANC, for example. All the parties, the IFP also had its own internal problems, but most of the threats around election times were between parties. You know, no-go areas. This was IFP area or this was ANC area. And that's gradually changed. It's still there. There have been incidents, for example, an ANC candidate had his car shot at, then he was attacked when out canvassing in an area which is an ANC stronghold. So there have been some inter-party incidents, but and this was, as I said to you, this was starting in 2011, very clear signs of divisions within the ANC leading to tensions. And of course, to complicate matters in this election, we've not only got the independents standing in what has always been secure ANC territory, but we've also got the EFF coming in. So, and there's areas in which are going to be closely contested between the New Freedom Party and the IFP, because there's been a lot of conflict since the formation, the breakaway of the New Freedom Party from the IFP in 2011. A lot of people have died in conflict between the IFP and the NFP. So there are going to be areas that are closely contested by the IFP, NFP, and the ANC. But as I said, it's very difficult to tell at this stage because the campaigning is only just starting. But the main difference between now and the 80s is the extent to which there's the divisions within, particularly within the ANC.
What needs to be done to stop the violence and the political killings that have been escalating over the last few months?
Well, look, the main thing that should be done, of course, is the people who've been doing the killings should be caught and brought to justice, but that's just not happening. There's two things. That's the one thing. I mean, you've got Gleeblands Hostel in Durban, where 62 people have been killed in just over 2 years, and that all started with intra-ANC problems. So, and there's not a single conviction yet, 62 deaths. One researcher, I think David Bruce, worked out that about 1 out of 10 killers get caught. And the other problem is that most of the killers are hitmen, dispatched by people who want their political enemies taken out. So if you catch the killers, you sometimes only get the hitmen, and the trail, occasionally, you will find the people who sent the hitmen. For example, in a breakthrough and quite an unusual event, two councillors have been convicted for killing a member of a shack dwellers association because the hitman was caught and there was good enough evidence to lead to the two councillors who are still getting their salaries who sent them. Now, but in most cases the killers don't get caught. The other issue is that the police should be, if we have proper crime intelligence, and we don't, that's the problem. The police should have early warning signs that people are planning to protest violently, and they should be prepared for it, and that's not happening. I mean, I'm told that at many, or I don't know, maybe most stations, that the old way of sending out your crime intelligence to find out, you know, what was happening, what you needed to plan, that's not really happening. Look, we've got a crisis in management in policing, especially in KwaZulu-Natal, and we've got a crisis in crime intelligence because it has basically been subverted for political ends. So policing, and then the police are end up under-resourced facing, when I say under-resourced, in terms of the numbers of protests they have to deal with, because there hasn't been sufficient proper crime intelligence to plan well in advance to stop it before it gets out of hand.
Yes, so there are a number of factors that need to be considered before we can change this tide. Mary, thank you very much for your time this morning on Radio
Star. Okay. Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
Have a good day. Bye.
You too.
That was Mary the Huss speaking to us about violence in KZN, a really, really disturbing trend that has emerged. We're going to go for our commercials, and followed by which we have the drama.